I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the Porter Miller motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The chaplain today will be Senator Kubley.
Shall we pray? Creator God and indwelling spirit, many of us come to these halls inspired by the idea that we would like to make a difference, a positive difference for ourselves, for our families, and for all who live within the borders of this state we've grown to love. But even here, Lord, we find ourselves subject to some very human failings. We find others who are more talented than we are, and a tinge of jealousy begins to creep into our souls. Someone else gets credit for something we've worked hard on, and we discover anew that envy dwells within us. Is it because we live in a world that has convinced us that ours is a world of scarcity, Lord? And if someone else gets a piece of the pie, we tend to believe that means there's less for us. We fail to understand that in your world, there is no such thing as scarcity. Because you are creative without bounds, and because you call us to share in that creativity, in your world, there is not only enough, but there is abundance, like wheat shaken down, packed tight, but still overflowing until no one hungers and everyone prospers. Only our own choices can stop the flow of abundance into our lives, Lord. So today we ask that you help us to make your world our world by recognizing that it has first come to us as a gift from your hand of grace. In so doing, may we see abundance as our birthright. In sharing that abundance, may we be a blessing to all who know us. And in knowing us, may they want to know you as well. In your strong name, amen.
Thank you, Gary. Good. That was nice. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cullen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubley, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogemiller, Prentner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Worgen, and Wieger. A quorum is present.
Quorum is present. First order of business is messages from the House. There are four to be read at the desk.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted. House file number 274 and also House files 270, 1542, and 2205. Signed, Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
First reading of House bills.
Now, when he reads this, that gets laid on the table.
Who does that?
House file number 274, a bill for an act relating to the Rural Finance Authority providing for sale of bonds and appropriating money.
Mr.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I'd move that House file 274 be laid on the table.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
House file 270, a bill for an act relating to habitual truants, removing a provision relating to termination of jurisdiction.
He referred to the Judiciary Committee. Was that 270?
Yeah.
Okay.
Next one.
And House File 1542, a bill for an act relating to public safety specifying amount of methamphetamine precursor drugs that consumers may purchase.
This bill will be referred to the Committee on Health, Housing, and Family Security.
And House File 2205, a bill for an act relating to crimes providing for applicability of certain old sex offender provisions for crimes committed before enactment of new sex offender law.
Be referred to the Judiciary Committee.
Now what? We're going to...
Next order of business is reports of committees.
Mr. President.
They're on today's agenda. Senator Pogermiller.
I move that the committee reports printed in today's agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. There are two on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Where's Denny?
Frederickson.
Now the next order of business will be motions and resolutions. There are about six authors' motions. Without objection, we will take those as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that House File 274 be taken from the table.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Members, this next motion will be to declare an emergency. This is the, I think it's the Rural Finance Authority bill that we passed here a few days ago. And the House has sent over its version, and we're going to put the Senate language on and send it back to the House. So, Mr. President, I move that an emergency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Minnesota Constitution with respect to House File 274, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give House File 274 its second and third reading and place it on final passage.
Members, you've heard Senator Pogermiller's motion. A discussion on that motion? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. The motion carries.
Second reading of House bills. I got to get the second reading.
Second reading.
House File number 274.
Second reading. Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, I move to amend House File number 274 as follows. Delete everything after the exacting clause and delete the title of House File number 274 and insert the language after the enacting clause and the title of Senate File number 227, the first engrossment.
Members, you've heard Senator Vickerman's motion. Discussion on that motion? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. The motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller. This is 274.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
I move that we take up
Senator Pogermiller?
The one item on the consent calendar.
Third reading,
oh.
House File number 724.
House File number 274, a bill for an act relating to the Rural Finance Authority providing for sale of bonds and appropriating money.
And Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Let's just make sure everybody knows what this is. And was it a unanimous vote, Senator Vickerman? Or should somebody be paying attention to this vote on your original bill?
Senator Vickerman?
Mr. President, would you like me to give a brief explanation of what this...
Just tell us, was it a unanimous vote the first time?
My amendment would do with the urgency of banks in order to use the RFA loan that need to start. They need to start
Senator
now.
Bickerman, hold just a second. Hold just a minute.
Members, I just wanted to clarify for members' purposes.
Mr. President, I did check with the House author, and it was a unanimous decision in the House.
No, the key is
Senator Pogamiller.
We have voted on this, and we laid it on the table, but it was a unanimous vote in the Senate. It was 64-0. So members, it's one of those things that you don't want to have a different vote than on the first one. But in this instance, I think everybody's pretty safe.
Members, we have House File 274 before us. We're on third reading. Discussion. Hearing no discussion, the Secretary will take the roll. The Secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogamiller, we're ready for your motion.
I think why don't we just not do the consent calendar today? And Senator Senjum, there are two minor general orders bills that we would like to process today. I don't think there's any controversy. If there is, we won't. And so if we could process those two general orders and then take a brief 5 to 10 minute recess, 10 minutes for the Rules Committee, and then come back and take up Senator Bitsold's bill. So, Mr. President, I would move that we resolve that I move the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
Senator Pogamiller has moved that we resolve into a committee as a whole. Discussion, general discussion, and remaining on motions. We'll proceed to vote. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries.
And then, Mr. President, I'd like to designate two general orders. Number 11, House File 736, and number 42, Senate File 167.
Are you 11?
I'm 11, yes.
The first item on general orders is number 11, House File 736. Senator Metzen.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 636 be recommended. Excuse me, House File 736 be recommended to pass.
Senator Metzen, on that motion.
Mr. Chairman and members, a number of years ago, the ambulance community started an award system for different categories, rewarding people in their profession. And the people behind this legislation, Representative Cooper and Senator Dallas Sabs. And they are, the ambulance community is very grateful for all the work that these two members have done for their association or group, if you will, over the years. And what this bill does, it names these five programs, the Representative Cooper and Representative Dallas Sams Awards Program. And Senator Representative Cooper, I'm told, has some challenges with cancer, and of course today's the second week anniversary of the funeral of our friend and colleague, Senator Sams.
Is there a discussion on House File 734? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of adopting House File 736 indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries and the bill is adopted. The House File 736 is recommended to pass. Who's the author on this? 167? And what's the number? What?
That's 167.
Senate file? The committee has before it now a number 42 on general orders, Senate file 167. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate file number 167 be recommended to pass.
Senator Sparks on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is the unemployment insurance bill from the Department of Employment and Economic Development. This bill has seven articles, the first six of which are a consensus product of the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council, which is made up of the AFL-CIO, the Teamsters, Jobs Now Coalition, Legal Aid Society, Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, National Federation of Independent Business, and the Mechanical Contractors Association. For those members that were here last year, the first six articles of this bill passed off the Senate floor unanimously last session, but it hit a little snag in the House. The highlights of the bill are as follows. It allows new labor market entrants to qualify for benefits to become unemployed. It removes the current disincentive to work part-time while requesting benefits. Provides an individual who quits employment because of a child care problem is not denied benefits, provided the individual requested accommodation from the employer and had no accommodation is made available. It increases the penalties for individuals who commit unemployment insurance fraud. The bill is overall cost neutral, Mr. Chair and members. The bulk of the bill is housekeeping and language changes. Article 7 was added in committee, which would provide an extension of unemployment benefits for 13 weeks for workers of the Ainsworth Lumber Company at locations in Grand Rapids, Bemidji, and Cook. I would urge members' support.
Members, are there questions on Senate File 167?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm wondering if Senator Sparks would be willing to answer a question?
He will.
Thank you. My question is with respect to the provision with the Ainsworth Lumber Company, and just curious as to why this is included. There clearly are other companies that have laid off employees, and does this represent a precedence being set for how we do this in the future, or does this bring into question the process that the UI Advisory Council normally undertakes? I'm just curious about why the provision just for this company is in the bill.
Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Hahn. I don't think that this is a new precedent. We've done it for other individuals who have come into problems. I know certainly firsthand when the farmland plant in Albert Lea burnt down, we allowed them to have an extension. I think it has happened in other cases as well.
Senator Saxog, were you right?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hahn. Of course, the Ainsworth plants went down because of a national housing downturn in construction. I think we're all aware of that. But what makes the Ainsworth situation a little different is the unemployment rate in those counties that those three Ainsworth plants are located in have statewide have considerably lower wages than the statewide average, and not only that, but the unemployment rate in these counties is significantly higher than the state average. So that, coupled with the fact that when we've talked to Deed and they agreed to this particular amendment, The fact is that the large percentage of the Grand Rapids employees are going to run out of employee benefits this coming week. And so we think it's significant that this be on the bill.
Senator Michel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Sparks yield for a question?
He'll yield.
Thank you. Senator Sparks, you pointed out that six out of these seven provisions are really a do-over from a bill last year. The seventh provision I do think is worth a little more time on, and Senator Hand brought up a good point. As I understand it, there's no cost to the state, but Senator Sparks, do you have a cost estimate for what this would cost the UI Trust Fund, which is paid for through taxes on the business community?
Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Michel. I believe the testimony from the department said that the cost would be minimal, about $250,000 if all the employees took advantage of the benefit.
Thank you, Senator Sparks.
Senator Michel.
Mr. Chair. And Senator Hahn, well, let me just point out, I appreciate Senator Saxog's work on this, and he has, through some discussion and compromise, cut this back a bit. And I also understand there may be some good news about the Ainsworth company reopening. And so we'll all hope for that. But your point, Senator Hahn, is well taken, because I'm afraid this won't be the first unique, compelling situation that you're going to hear on the Senate floor. We're going to be talking about other issues that are going to dive into the UI Trust Fund. I think this is just the first, and I do think it sets a precedent and one we should be careful of.
Further discussion on Senate File 167. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if Senator Sparks would yield.
He'll yield.
I'm wondering about this provision on the loss of child care. And if someone loses their child care and can't find another provider, does that mean that the employer gets charged if they does it allow that employee who can't work anymore because they don't have a provider to collect unemployment? And if it does it provide that the employer have that included in his experience rating?
Senator Sparks?
It's on 1319 it starts.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, could you repeat the section and the page you're referring to?
Senator Roebling.
Page 13, line 19 is where it begins.
Senator Sparks.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, it looks to me like it would be charged to them.
Senator Roebling.
Well, Mr. President and Senator Sparks, I hate to see that happen to employers who really have nothing to do with daycare providers and the availability of them. I guess that if they lose an employee because they don't have daycare, it shouldn't become the responsibility of the employer to get a mark against their experience rating, for example, for purposes of unemployment compensation. And you think it does?
Senator Sparks?
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, I think if you continue to read on in section page 13, line 13, 25, and 26, that individual would have to continue to look for work or they would be disqualified, and it was agreed to by the employers and the council as well.
Senator Worgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Will Senator Sparks yield?
He'll yield.
Senator Sparks, spell this one out in real plain English for me. If I quit a job because I cannot find childcare for my young child, am I eligible for unemployment insurance under this exception?
Senator Sparks.
No, you would not be.
Mr. Senator Chair, Oregon? Then Senator Sparks, I need clarification because that's what I see. So what am I missing?
Senator Sparks?
This is just a change in language. You wouldn't be qualified for it, but it would take away that disincentive. You'd have to continue to look for work or you'd be disqualified under the current proposal.
Further discussion on Senate File 167. Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those of the opinion that Senate File 167 should be adopted indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries, and its bill is recommended to pass. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee do now arise and report.
Senator Pogemiller has moved that the committee do now arise and report on that motion. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
Come to order.
The Senate will come to order. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the committee of the whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
Members, you've heard Senator Pogemiller's motion. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The Senate is in order.
Mr. President, I move a recess at the call of the chair so that the Rules Committee can meet, and hopefully that will be 10 to 15 minutes maximum. Room 237 for the Rules Committee. So I move a recess to the call of the chair.
Senator Pogemiller has moved a brief recess to the call of the chair. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion. Proceed to introduction of bills. And all in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. And then, members, the introductions are all on today's agenda. You'll look them over if there's objections to references. Seeing nobody rising to object, first reading.
Mr. President,
Senator Pogemiller.
Pursuant to Rule 26, I designate Senate File 1997, Number 67 on General Orders, a special order for immediate consideration and would yield to Senator Betzel.
That's a motion, isn't it? Senator Betzel, we're on Senate File 1997.
Thank you, Mr. President. And since I got to do it anyway, I'll impose a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call.
Mr. President.
Senator Betzel.
I move that further proceeding to the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
Senator Betzel has moved that further proceedings under the call be suspended and the Sergeant be instructed to bring in the absent members. Favor that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? Senator Betzel.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Members, Senate File 1997 is the State Government Omnibus Budget Bill. This includes the constitutional officers, the governor's office, the legislature, some of the major executive branch agencies such as the Department of Finance, Department of Revenue, some rather small councils, the lottery, things that don't fit anywhere else fit under here. Basically, we've got a base a budget area of about $550 million. Just to put that in perspective, as I often tell people, if you were to bulldoze the whole state capitol complex, get rid of the legislature, fire every employee that's in my jurisdiction, you would still not have enough money to put 3% on the formula. So it is a lot of money, but in the bigger context of things, it's a relatively small part of the state's budget. As Mr. President members may know, we were given budget targets, that is, based upon the budget forecast, how much can we spend in our given areas for new initiatives. Mine was the only target area that had a negative number, that is, I had a minus $10 million to deal with. Now, we were able to work our way into the black with something called tax compliance money. That is, by hiring more auditors for the Department of Revenue to go after people who haven't paid their taxes, we can get money. Now, in this case, my budget division initially proposed spending $10 million, which would have netted out $50 million. That got us into the black, but then when we had the salary supplement, as all the other budget divisions are doing, that basically wiped out anything that was left there. So we did have some proposals in the budget division that would have eliminated a deputy commissioner for the Department of Administration that's a vacant position right now, although the money is being used for the Office of Enterprise Technology. And also we did some calculations on the merger from the Department of Employee Relations into the Department of Finance, Administration, and Health. Although the fiscal note said there was one position, we extrapolated and figured out that there would probably be some more funds in there. Subsequently, after the bill left the budget division, the Finance Committee made some other modifications, which included more money for tax compliance, but now we're hitting the point of diminishing returns where there's just not that many more people to hire for auditors, and you're not going to get that much money for tax compliance. But that was added into the bill. There was also an amendment of the Finance Committee that would have eliminated many more deputy commissioners beyond just the area of my budget and across other jurisdictional areas. And we were allocating that money in other areas of the budget. Mr. President, I'll go through the bill as you have before us and the spreadsheet, which you should have on your desk. Basically, some of the things that we were looking at as proposals in this budget bill, as I indicated already, we have a compensation increase of this area, which includes, by the way, legislative employees, of 3.25%. We are putting some money into the Senate operating. And a lot of this is going into technology. The Senate has fallen way behind in its technology, as you've probably seen from computers crashing recently. For many years, we just did not invest in this area, and we need to do some catching up. Senator Rest had a proposal on legislative auditor. When the legislative auditor does some audits, there's about four agencies that they audit, and those agencies have to pay for those audits, but that money goes to the general fund. Senator Rest had a proposal, actually, that would have captured and sent it back to the auditor, but then the auditor would have been basically editing for a fee, and that's not a good policy. So we just pulled the money out of the general fund that is being paid for by these agencies to put that money into the legislative auditor for their audit. The Legislative Coordinating Commission was requesting about $1 million, and these are for such commissions as the Pensions Commission, the other commissions that are within the Legislative Coordinating Commission that need funding. We got about three-fourths of the way there with that. There was an amendment that was made in the Finance Committee that was not part of the bill that came there, and that was it's a bill that actually Senator Cohen has, Senate File 1969, that is actually in the Senate State and Local Government Operations Oversight Committee to do a staff budget trends study. And as I say, that was added to my bill in the Finance Committee. The state auditor needed some additional funds to retain some auditors, and actually we were able to use some money for pension commission audits to help pay for that. The state auditor has a requirement from last year's tax bill to do audits of Job Z. That was required of the state auditor, but was not funded. We do put some funding in here to make that happen. There was another requirement last year. The Secretary of State was directed to have a safe at home program, that is to for people who are in domestic abuse situations, if they want to be able to vote by absentee without declaring where they're voting. Also a way for people to contact and communicate with people who are in these shelters. That we directed that program last year. We did not fund it. There's some money in here to do that funding. The Office of Enterprise Technology asked for about $17 million ongoing for computer technology, and specifically to enhance the safety of our computers. We were not able to get to $17 million. We were able to at least here make a proposal of close to $8 million. One of the proposals that was before the Budget Division that had a lot of interest is the Land Management Information Center, and this is databases of virtually all the real estate throughout the state. It is used quite extensively through education institutions, by surveyors, by a number of organizations. There was not a proposal from the governor's proposal to keep the funding going. We found it. This was a lot of interest in this area. We provided money for the census in 2010. The census is coming up. We do have to fund it. Minnesota is at risk to lose one of its congressional seats in the next census, so we need to do everything we can have to have an accurate count. Because of the additional money that was provided in the Finance Committee, which is not, it's being carried in this bill, but we are not being able to capture the funds for this budget area. But we were able to extend a few funds out for the AMPERS equipment grants and the public TV equipment grants. Also, we have some minor funding to help the Capital Area Architectural Planning Board become full-time, and a minor adjustment to the Amateur Sports Commission. So, Mr. President, that is a quick view of the funding initiatives that we did in this bill. I will just quickly go through the bill. It's a rather small bill, so if you are following along, the first 13 pages are the appropriations, the base appropriations, and the adjustments that I've mentioned to you. Section 1 is a bill that we introduced to clarify. This provides that when the governor leaves office, the executive orders will continue on for a period of 90 days. Right now, the law only says when the governor vacates the office, that is midterm. It doesn't really say what happens, and I guess the policy should be that when a governor, however governor leaves office, either during the term or at the end of the term, there should be some time period for those executive orders to go on until the new governor is able to do something. That was an addition that was a bill that was heard in the State and Local Government Operations Committee. It was referred to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee was then added on to this bill. In Section 2, these are some fee issues, and we have some provisions in here for the Secretary of State's office. Senator Larson worked on a number of these. We did not provide any new funding for the Secretary of State. However, we are providing some federal dollars that they can use for voting initiatives, and as well as they have some fee increases in here that are going to be used for technology purposes. And Section 2 is one of them, as well as Section 3. Again, this is for the Secretary of State's technology initiatives. Section 4 is tied into Section 1. It's not clear under the law, that, and this is an issue that came up actually in the Senate earlier this session, where it isn't clear if the governor, who is reelected to a term of office, is supposed to resubmit appointees, the commissioners who had served previously. I believe the language that's currently in law provides for that, but there was some question that was raised as to whether or not that was necessary or not. This provides that it does have to be resubmitted for confirmation, and if members are interested, I can go through a brief history of how this has all come about and the confirmation process. I did mention that the Finance Committee eliminated a number of deputy commissioner positions, not just in this budget area, but a number of others. There are a number of sections that deal with it. Section 5 is one of the general sections that deal with this. I'll be identifying more as I go through the bill. Section 6 is just some money that's passing through the Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board that is going to be, that they have to use, that they will be using in their special revenue fund. Section 7 is just an obsolete reference to the Indoor Technologies Division, which no longer exists. Section 8 refers to the elimination of the deputy commissioner for the Department of Administration. Section 9 was a bill from Senator Pappas on outsourcing, and this bill had been heard in a number of committees. Section 10 is also, now this is a, Section 10 is a bill from Senator Pappas dealing with the domestic partners. And I'll be talking about this in a little bit in a few minutes, Mr. President. A few years ago, there was a contract that was agreed to by the state employees that provided for domestic partner insurance benefits. The legislature did not ratify that part of the contract, so it has not been provided. This accomplishes that. Now, as I say, I will talk about that in just a few minutes again, Mr. President. Section 11 is elimination of a commissioner, deputy commissioner position for the Department of Employee Relations, which, by the way, if we're also proposing that agency be eliminated, so that would go away anyway. Section 12 would eliminate the deputy position for the Office of Strategic and Long-Range Planning. Section 13 would be is some general language dealing with the temporary appointments of deputy commissioners. Section 14 is also language relating back to the domestic partners provision that I mentioned earlier. Section 15 is a provision dealing, it's a technical matter dealing with retired employees, and we do have a provision as an incentive for retirement employees to come back to work, but it currently it does not apply to members of the legislative branch. This just adds them to that provision to allow them to come back and work without messing up their pension issues. Section 16 would eliminate the Deputy Commissioner of the Commerce Department. Section 17 would eliminate a deputy in the Department of Natural Resources. Section 18 would be eliminating the deputy, the Assistant Commissioner for the Pollution Control Agency. Section 19 and 20 relate to those elimination of the position for the Department for Deed. Section 21 for the assistant commissioner for transportation. Section 22 to 24, these are provisions that Senator Larson carried, and he would be in a position to discuss these in greater detail. This is these were initiatives from the Secretary of State's office on voter registration, and particularly to assist those to make it easier for people to vote through when they get their driver's licenses. Section 25 deals with the Deputy Commissioner for Corrections. Section 26 is just a technical amendment allowing some data sharing between the Commissioner of Finance and the Commissioner of Revenue on in preparing a budget forecast. Section 27 deals with the Secretary of State's fees, and as I indicated, and as well as in Section 28 and 29 and 30. Again, this assists the Secretary of State in dealing with technology. I'll specifically note in Section 30, this makes the same fee for some filings that are done by paper as online. Right now, there's a difference in the cost of that. This would make them the same. Starting in Section 31 and 32, these are parts of a bill that I had carried and had been heard in Judiciary Committee and in the Judiciary Budget Division, which would raise fees for the counties on marriage licenses. The state has been raising its fee on marriage licenses for many years. The county has not been, and in fact, the counties actually lose money on marriage licenses. They charge $15, and it actually costs them about $25. This just makes up the difference there. That takes me to Section 33. This is some language regarding the Sesquicentennial Commission, allowing the Sesquicentennial Commission to receive money, gifts given to the commission. Section 24 is the language that actually abolishes the Department of Employee Relations and transfers its duties. Section 35 is what I referred to earlier. This was an amendment that was put on the bill in the Finance Committee to have a commission to study the state budget trends. And then Section 36 was a bill that Senator Rest had that was heard, I believe, in the State and Local Government Operations Judiciary Committee, as well as the Budget Division, on creating a commission, New Americans, that is for immigrants. And Section 37 is a bill that I had that was converted into a study in the State and Local Government Operations Oversight Committee, looking at the complex issue of electronic documents and the storage of the preservation of them. This is going to be a study with a report due next January. And then Section 38 is some technical language that we've had before for people who want to take voluntary unpaid leave of absences. And then Section 39 is just a revisor's instruction on the Department of Employee Relations, and Section 40 is a repealer language regarding to DOER. Now, Mr. President, I do have two amendments. The first one is a strictly technical amendment, and this is the A24 amendment, which I wish to offer.
The Secretary will report the amendment. Senator Betzel.
And Mr. President, this, as I say, is just a technical amendment. Some of it corrects on lines 1.2 through 1.5. There are just some addition numbers that needed to be corrected in the bill, and this just puts the correct numbers in place. And then the second part of it was lines 1.6 through 1.11. I mentioned earlier that the Secretary of State's office is planning on using federal funds for voter initiatives. And in order to do that, they just need some language just that we have given approval to make that happen. So that is the A24 amendment, Mr. President.
Discussion on Senator Betzel's A24 amendment. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of adopting the A24 amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries and the amendment's adopted. Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, before I turn it over to Stan for any questions, I would like to address one item that is in this bill that I mentioned the domestic partners sections, and I know that there is some issues and some concerns that some people have about this. As the bill was presented in the Finance Committee, the Commissioner of Employee Relations testified about the cost, the concerns about the cost of this. Now, I differ with the administration as to what they see in this. A few years ago, when this issue came up, it was assumed that this was going to affect 85 people. We're talking about health insurance. Now the estimate is close to 400 people. I don't know why it jumped from 85 to close to 400, but that is what the estimate seems to be. There are technically no tax dollars that we're talking about being used here, and it does not show up as a tax dollar appropriation in the spreadsheets here. What this is, because it's health insurance, like any other health insurance within the government, the employer and the employee have to pay their costs of it. So when we get our health insurance, we pay for that, and the employer pays for that. However, it is a cost to the state because, as we're talking about the agencies having to pay for their employees' health insurance, they have to pay the employee cost. And now the estimate in the letter that was given by the director of the Employee Insurance Division of DOER is predicting that this is going to be $1.8 million as direct and indirect cost to the state and its employees as a result of this legislation. Let me remind members that last, I believe it was December, this is the very same insurance group that declared a holiday because they had so much surplus money that they could afford to not have people not make payments and so forth because they had too much. So I'm not quite sure how it comes up that now they're worried about the cost within a state budget of $32 billion, this cost. However, if the argument is going to be that this is bad public policy because of the cost, Mr. President, I would like to offer the A21 amendment.
Senator Betzel has moved the A21 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Betzel moves to amend Senate File 1997 as follows, page 19, line 10. This is the A21 amendment.
Senator Betzel, on your amendment.
And Mr. President, I haven't seen it come up on the computer. It's on the computer now. What the A21 amendment says is that the insurance must be made available at full cost to domestic partners and state employees without state payment for any portion of the insurance. In other words, they have to pay for it themselves. Now, it's going to be costly. Frankly, some people will not be able to afford this. I'm aware of that. But if the argument is that this is a bad thing to do because it's going to cost the state a lot of money, this takes that argument away. There is no cost with the adoption of this amendment. I stand for any questions on the A21 amendment.
Is there discussion on the A21 amendment? Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Betzel, I can understand a little bit the rationale as to why you're offering this, but I just wanted to protest and say I still don't think it's fair. I think that a family is a family, and we need to treat all families in Minnesota equally. And I hope that this may be a first step toward rectifying an unjust situation, but it's not the final step.
Further discussion on the A21 amendment? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those who are of the opinion that the A21 amendment should be adopted indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails and the A21 amendment is adopted.
Mr. President, I stand for any questions. I don't have any other amendments, but if there are any questions or anybody else with further discussion, I stand for questions.
Chair recognizes Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A22 amendment.
Senator Rest has moved the A22 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Rest moves to amend Senate File 1997 as follows. Page 14, after line 10, insert. This is the A22 amendment.
Senator Rest, on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. This past January, the Office of the Legislative Auditor released an evaluation report on state grants to nonprofit organizations, which I am happy to know that the Department of Administration in particular took very seriously. They worked among themselves and looking for best practices recommended by the legislative auditor, put together a bill. Senator Moam worked on the issue, Senator Gerlach, and the bill moved through the process being heard in two committees. We looked for additional money to support that effort, but decided that the language was important enough itself that they had brought forward that we would offer it today to be included as one of the duties of the Department of Administration to get this best practices policies of grants management into the State Department's bill. The language that is before you is exactly as it was amended in committee, the language supported by the department. It does not include the other part of the bills going forward, which was the creation of a searchable database, because that would have involved significant fiscal impact with new money for equipment, etc. So I hope that you will support this language as we look to respond in a favorable way to the state grants programs and the work that the Department of Administration has done in this area. They are to be congratulated.
Senator Betzel.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Rest. We're quite aware of the issue in the Budget Division. We heard the presentation of the legislative auditor. In fact, the governor even proposed doing something along this lines. So they wanted about $500 million to hire three people. We couldn't find it within our budget targets. It's my understanding that this is now apparently neutral, or at least it's going to be no cost. So this is something that's quite important, needs to be done. As long as it doesn't cost any money that we don't have in this bill, I'm in support of it. And I believe that this, as I say, was one of the initiatives. And I believe Senator Roebling may have some comments as well, too.
The chair recognizes Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, or Mr. President. The provision that Senator Rest is offering is a good one, but it does concern me that there's no funding for them to administer it. And it especially concerns me that because in this bill we are also eliminating deputy commissioners and assistant commissioners, one of those people who would have been very likely to pick up the ball and help establish this new grants management office. So I have some serious concerns about that, and I just want to point out that by taking away these personnel employees, that we can, the departments are probably going to come back and say, we can't do this. We know it's a good thing. It should be done. We'd like to do it, but we don't have the staffing to do it because we're taking away some of the people who could head up that whole Department of Grants Management.
Is there further discussion on the A22 amendment? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those who are of the opinion that the A22 amendment should be adopted indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries and the amendment's adopted. Senator Beth.
Mr. President, I have been advised of one amendment that probably needs to be done here, the A26 amendment.
Senator Betzel has moved the A26 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
It's under the name of Cohen, by the way.
Senator Betzold moves to amend Senate File 1997 as follows. Page 36, after line 20, insert. This is the A26 amendment.
Senator Betzold, on your amendment.
And apparently it's not coming up yet. Oh, there it is right now. This relates to the tax relief account. This is how we structure our budgets. We need this language to deal with the carry forward funds that are available. As I say, this is simply how we already do it, and it's also, I believe, conforming to how the governor's budget is done as well.
Discussion on the A26 amendment. Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Betzold yield for a question?
He'll yield.
Thank you. Senator Betzold, can you provide just a little more clarification about what this does?
Mr. President, I'll use Senator Cohen.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. President, Senator Vandeveer, what this language does is conforms the budget to what the governor's budget is. The governor's presentation of his budget took the tax relief account monies and then worked it through the budget. So that's what we've done with our budgets that we're dealing with. So this simply conforms to how we're handling the budget. Simple as that.
Further discussion on the A26 amendment. Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. As many as are of the opinion that the A26 amendment should be adopted, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries and the A26 amendment is adopted. Senator Kosh.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A52 amendment.
A52. Senator Kosh has moved adoption of the A52 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Koch moves to amend Senate File 1997 as follows. Page 35, line 1. This is the A52 amendment.
Senator Kosh, on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. There's a Commission on New Americans created in this bill, and there's a reporting requirement to the legislature, and it actually just requires reporting to the chairs of the committees that are affected. This simply adds in and ranking minority members. As a member of the minority, we'd appreciate being kept in the loop on these.
Mr. President, I support the amendment you described, but that isn't what is showing up on the screen. This says delete page 19, delete section 14. So that's not what we've got. What you've described, I support.
Senator Betzold, I'm told by the front desk it's just coming up on the...
Mr. President.
Just wait just a second. Members, I think it is now on your laptop.
Yeah, the A52 amendment, Mr. Chair, under the name Gimsey, right. Yes, I support this. I think it should have been something we caught along the way, and we did not. This is something that should be done. I support this.
Further discussion on the A52 amendment? Senator Rest.
Thank you. Mr. President and Senator Coase, thank you very much for doing this. We will add that as a guideline on our commissions and advisory task force when we are asking for reporting back to the legislature. Thank you. And thank you, Senator Gemsy.
Okay, further discussion on the A52 amendment? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those who are of the opinion that the A52 amendment should be adopted signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries and the A52 amendment's adopted. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce the A10 amendment.
Senator Limmer has moved the A10 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
And Senate File 1997 as follows. Page 16, delete 10, et cetera. This is
Senator Limmer on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. As members can see, this amendment is in reference to deleting sections 10 and 14. Those are the references to any reference to domestic partnership found in this bill. I'd ask for a roll call vote, Mr. President.
There are three hands for a roll call. Seeing three hands, there will be a roll call. Senator Betzold.
Mr. President, I don't believe we need three hands when we're acting in the Senate. It's just the committee of the whole. But I oppose the amendment. I'm not sure what the reason now, Senator Limmer, is. The only complaints I've heard from the administration was that they didn't like the cost. I took care of that with the earlier amendment. There is no cost to the state now. There's no tax dollars. They have to pay for it themselves. So perhaps some explanation could be offered as to why this should not be in the bill, because it doesn't cost the state anything now.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and Senator Betzold, there's other issues here rather than just costs that we're talking about. The question, if I can refer to your the language on the bill, lines or page 16, lines 33, this is part of the definition of what domestic partner means. And there are four categories that have to be satisfied in order to be considered a defined individual as a domestic partner title. Line 33 makes reference to sharing a common residence. It does not have any focus on how many people can share a residence. Is it one person? Is it 10 people? They don't need to possess the property, or they don't even have to possess any other property. I'm trying to understand why a property ownership element is even in the definition. And then, of course, on page 17, lines 2 through 4, it claims that if one of the partners temporarily leaves the residence, but with an intention to return sometime, the domestic partners continue to share a common residence for the purpose of this subdivision. I just don't understand the definition of that, and could maybe you explain to me why this is defined the way it is?
Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, this is actually Senator Pappas's bill. I'll defer to her. Again, this is simply providing health insurance to people, but I'll ask Senator Pappas to clarify the intent here.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Limmer. This is very similar to when it was in law previously in 2002-2003, some of the guidelines for the department in administering the program. And they have additional guidelines. They're very strict. People have to sign affidavits. And that one provision that you referred to about temporarily out of the residence is really just to accommodate if people are on vacation or if they have a work assignment where they have to be, they're sent out of town, they travel for their job, and they're sent out of town for several weeks or a month even. That's to cover in the event that should be the situation. But Senator Limmer, I really would like to urge people to vote against this amendment. This, including this in the bill, puts us squarely in the mainstream in terms of Minnesota businesses. I have dozens of Fortune 500 businesses in the state of Minnesota that offer same-sex domestic partner health benefits, including 3M, AT&T, Barnes & Noble, Best Buy, Ceridian, Ford Motor Company, Ecolab, Hilton Hotels, Home Depot, just on and on and on. There's literally dozens, as well as state governments. We've got over a dozen state governments that offer it, city governments, dozens and dozens of city, county, and school districts that offer same-sex domestic partner health benefits. It really is a case of fairness, of treating all our employees equally, of being able to attract and retain talent in our state government, and I would urge people to vote against the amendment.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I also have questions about this provision in Section 10. And one question, maybe Senator Betzold, is there any other place in statute where we define the term domestic partner? And, Mr. President, maybe I should ask if Senator Betzold would be willing to answer a question before I ask him a question.
Senator Betzold.
I don't know the answer to that, Mr. President. We'll do a word search on Minnesota statutes and see if we can come up with anything.
Senator Hamm.
And, Mr. President, I know there was some discussion in a bill that was in the Health Committee that was referring to this, to domestic partner as a term. And at that point, there seemed to be no other place in statute that defined this. And so one thing that we're doing here is we're creating a definition of a relationship that I think is unprecedented. And I'm wondering why we need to include it in a bill that is just about insurance, if that's what this is about. And I'm troubled by some of the language here. One of the things on line 16.26, it says that this is a relationship that can only exist with another adult of the same sex. And I guess if the idea is to expand benefits to people who are living together, why would we not include grandmothers, grandchildren, maybe two people of the opposite sex that for whatever reason aren't married but are living together? It seems to me as if what we're doing here is we're creating a definition of a relationship that for all intents and purposes is identical to a marriage relationship. And I'm curious about why we would want to do this in this provision, and it seems to me that that issue would deserve some broader debate. But I would like to know why it is that we're relating this just to relationships between people who are of the same sex rather than more generally.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Hahn. A relationship between people of opposite sex, they have the option to get married and receive these benefits. A committed relationship between two people of the same sex in our state do not have that option. So we are trying to respect their family unit and offer them the same health care benefits as people of opposite sex who are allowed to get married.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, and Senator Pappas, then it seems to me that the intent here is not so much insurance, but the intent is to redefine or to create another definition of a relationship that is equivalent to marriage and everything except perhaps the particular words to which it is referred. And again, we've had some debate in the past years in this body about marriage and the definition of marriage, and there has been a lot of debate about this issue, and people have raised concerns about why we would need to do that, since we have a definition of marriage in law that is not under any threat and is working, and yet it seems to me that what we have here is a challenge to that law. And my understanding is that there have been other states that have had in their courts challenges to their marriage laws based on the establishment in other statutes provisions that provide for benefits that are identical to marriage benefits that accrue to married people. And once that is done, then you've created a legal basis for a challenge to the definition of marriage as it exists in our statute today. So my question is this a first step in trying to take our current definition of marriage and redefine it for purposes of broader purposes? I know Senator Pappas earlier in the debate mentioned that this was a first step. I'm not sure what she was referring to, but maybe that could be expanded on. I'm questioning whether the intent of this provision is all about insurance, or perhaps it's about something more broad than that.
Well, Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, first of all, I'm kind of amused to hear that we've had so much discussion when when I was the chair of the Judiciary Committee, we had hearings on that particular issue, and then I was blasted as not allowing discussion on that, so I don't know, you know, where people are at on that issue, but I sure did what I could to at least have a debate on it. But this has nothing to do with the whether there should be same-sex marriage or should not be same-sex marriage. We're talking about some people right now, today, who cannot get health insurance, no matter what the cost, no matter how much they want it, they cannot get health insurance. That's what this is. If other people want to pretend and read stuff into words that are not there, I can't stop that from happening. This is about health insurance.
Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And in response to Senator Betzold, this is indeed what happened in the state of Massachusetts. The state of Massachusetts identified specific benefits for a specific group of people, and that was later used in court to create same-sex marriage. So whether that is the intent or not, that certainly could be one of the outcomes based on what's happened in Massachusetts.
Senator Neville.
Mr. President, I don't believe this is about insurance. I believe it is about laying a building block or a cornerstone for same-sex marriage. But let me raise another interesting issue. I don't know how people would prove that there's a committed relationship. So if you have two adult men and they're friends, and one has a particular illness but no insurance, one could say, well, come on in and move in with me, and I will now provide you with insurance. That is, of course, unless they're brothers, because under this definition, that familial relationship would not allow them. And so under our human rights law, we have a statute that prevents discrimination on the basis of familial relationship. So then how are we going to resolve that? So now you've got two men living together. They might be gay and they might have a relationship that some would try to equate to a marriage. That's the intent, I guess, of this language. But they might not. You'll never be able to prove it, that they do or don't have a committed relationship. They might call their close friendship a committed relationship. And then you've got the third scenario, and that's they're related. And too bad. If I have a brother and he's got cancer and needs treatment but no insurance, I couldn't say to my brother, move in with me, you'll get health care. Not under this language. So this amendment is not about giving insurance to people. It's about redefining a relationship and laying a cornerstone for the foundation for same-sex marriage. That's the only thing that really makes sense. Otherwise, this would have come in and it would have said that we will require insurance to be allowed for parents, for brothers and sisters, for uncles and aunts, for grandparents who happen to be adults, for which there is a committed relationship, but they don't have insurance. That would have been the way if you were really trying to provide insurance for people.
Senator Betzold.
Well, Mr. President, first of all, as to whether or not this is groundbreaking in the Minnesota statutes, the term domestic partner does already appear in the health care directive statute. It doesn't define it, but it does appear there, so this is not the first time it would actually appear with the Minnesota statutes. Secondly, the guidelines had already been previously been adopted by the Department of Employment Relations. That was done under the Ventura administration. So this is not something brand new that is being proposed here because it had been done in the previous administration.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I guess I would respectfully disagree with Senator Betzold. I think this is unique and new, and I think it does, as Senator Jungbauer has pointed out, that it does lay the groundwork for a court challenge to marriage laws. And I know that we had, in the course of the discussion on the marriage amendment bill in the past years, many senators who objected to that, saying that it was not needed. It seems to me that if we adopt this, we have made it very clear that we do need a marriage amendment to define marriage if this is going to prevent courts from deciding, as they did in Massachusetts, that extending benefits to a group of people on the same basis as if they were married, that then that would have to be clarified perhaps in the Constitution. One question I would have, though, on the language that also is unclear to me, that it says in the line 16.25 and 26, the definition means a person who has entered into a committed interdependent relationship with another adult of the same sex. There's nothing in there that says that that has to be a relationship of only two people. Is that possible that under this language that more than two people could enter into a committed interdependent relationship and extend the benefits to a group of people that happen to be of the same sex and are living in the same building. Senator Betzold, could you respond to that, please?
Senator Betzold.
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, I don't know how you would come to that reading. It on line page 16, line 25, domestic partner means a person, singular, who has entered into a committed interdependent relationship with another adult, singular. That sounds like one plus one. So I don't know how you get plural out of that.
Senator Hamm.
And Senator Betzold, well, it doesn't say that there's anything exclusive about those two people being in that relationship. It's very true that two people could be in that relationship, but it doesn't say that another person couldn't enter into a committed interdependent relationship with one of those two people as well. And so the intent may be to limit it to two people, but it doesn't say that in the statute. And it certainly would say, suggest if we're in a court and a group of people came and said, well, we're all in a committed interdependent relationship with each other, it seems to me that this law would have to extend benefits to all of them who claim that relationship, regardless of how many the number was. And I guess if I'm reading that wrong, help me out. But to me, it is not exclusive to two people.
Is there further discussion on the A-10 amendment? Hearing no further discussion, a secretary will take the roll. Should be one more. The secretary will close the roll. There being 22 aye and 40 nay, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Further amendments. Chair recognizes Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A-20 amendment.
Senator Roebling has moved the A-20 amendment. The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Roebling moves to amend Senate File 1997 as follows. Page 3, after line 20, insert. This is the A-20 amendment.
Senator Roebling, on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. As Senator Betzold mentioned, we do have some money in this bill for technology for the Senate. And as all of us know, we've been having a lot of trouble with our technology. And this amendment proposes that whenever possible, we implement information technology systems that are compatible and work seamlessly across the legislature. So we're asking the House, the Senate, and the Legislative Coordinating Commission to work together to see if they can come up with an integrated system for all of us that will be friendly to both bodies and to the public so that we have better IT service. And so it asks for a report on how they're doing on that coordination effort. And I think after this last week when we had so much trouble with our server being down, that this is a very appropriate amendment.
Discussion on the A-20 amendment. Senator Betzold.
Yeah, Mr. President, Senator Roebling on our budget division raised the issue a number of times, and we encouraged her to kind of think up some language for the floor to go in this direction. I think the budget division is quite supportive of this, and it's a good amendment.
Further discussion on the A-20 amendment? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those who are of the opinion that the amendment should be adopted indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment's adopted. Further amendments. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have one small amendment that I'm offering for Senator Gerlach today. It's the A-19.
Senator Roebling has moved adoption of the A-19 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Roebling moves to amend Senate File 1997 as follows. Page 16, after line 22, insert. This is the A-19 amendment.
Senator Roebling, on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this is a request from the Council of Persons with Developmental Disabilities, and they are just asking that the Commissioner of Administration promote the use of persons with developmental disabilities for document imaging services, so copying documents mainly. And they are asking that pool of employees be promoted for use. It isn't saying they have to hire them. It's just reminding them that there is a pool of competent employees out there that could be used for those services to look for more job opportunities for people with disabilities.
Discussion on the A-19 amendment. Senator Betzold.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Gerlach actually had a bill that he was getting ready to introduce earlier this week, and I indicated to him that the Budget Division pretty much finished its work for the year, and he showed me the language. It looks like a good idea. I told him I don't know if there's going to be any fiscal cost. It's something that's probably good policy. But I did caution him that I said, if it's something that we would not be able to work out, then, it may run into trouble down the road. But I said I'd be happy to accept it for right now, and we'll just see if there's anything to it later on. So I support the amendment.
Further discussion on the A-19 amendment? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. As many are as of the opinion that the A-19 amendment should be adopted, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion carries, and the amendment's adopted. Further amendments. Senator Pappas.
I have the A-54 amendment.
Senator Pappas has moved adoption of the A-54 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Pappas moves to amend Senate File 1997 as follows. Page 27 after line 32 insert. This is the A-54 amendment.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm doing this for Senator Linda Higgins, who we all know was called away because her mother is very ill. And it would restore the principle of local control over local affairs by permitting local governments to provide benefits at their discretion and to determine the health care benefit packages that work best for their employees. And it's supported by the League of Cities and the Minnesota Association of Small Cities and a variety of city councils.
Discussion on the A-34 amendment. Senator Betzel.
I support the amendment.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the author of the amendment yield?
She'll yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Pappas, I'm having a hard time getting this amendment up on my computer. My computer had a difficulty. Could you tell me is there any limitation to the benefit package that a political subdivision may make based on your amendment?
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. It should be up on the computer now, Senator Limmer. The language is defined by government units at their own discretion. So it's really a local control issue, and all the local units of government really support it and would like this discretion.
Mr. President.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, I'm looking over at my neighbor's computer here, and the word dependence is going to be defined by local governmental units. Wouldn't that create some type of patchwork of definition all across the state of Minnesota, whether it's city, county, other political subdivisions? How would that work in a large insurance pool? How would that rate be rated? Does that type of difference and changes in definition, would that cause difficulty with the investment pool for these insurance companies?
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, I don't see why. I mean, those benefits are negotiated with unions now, and they are in different insurance pools. I don't think there's one insurance pool based on what unit of government it is. So I don't think it makes any difference.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, Senator Pappas and Members, the way the law works now is that it's one defined dependent definition. Is that correct? And by adding this, we're now allowing every collective bargaining unit, every political subdivision, to define dependency different. Perhaps, even if, let's say, the domestic partner definition was out, this would probably allow it back in. Any type of definition of dependent could fall into this. Mr. President, I just think that this type of application of defining dependence in the role of government employment should be kept singular so that investment opportunities of the insurance companies, the risk pool, everything else that goes into the formation of insurance be kept in the most simplest way so that everyone can be treated roughly the same. I would ask for a roll call vote and urge members to vote against this amendment.
A roll call has been requested. There will be a roll call.
Mr. President.
Senator Vandeveer.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Pappas yield for another question?
She'll yield.
Thank you. Senator Pappas, would this allow a local unit of government to define, like, grandparents or anyone else as dependents also? Would it work that way, too?
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, Senator Vandeveer, city councils and county boards and school boards are elected officials just like us. And I think they should have the right to negotiate with their employees and define their health care benefit package as they desire. And I don't think it should be our business to tell them what to do. They have to foot the bill. They have to negotiate. They have to hire talented employees. And I just think we should give them as much flexibility as possible. They've got to compete in the private sector for talent, compete with us for talent, compete with other states. And if they want to extend the benefit to grandparents or whatever, just like we have sick days, if you want to a sick day to take care of a elderly parent as well as a child, you know, that should be the option that they are given.
Senator Vandeveer.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Well, Senator Pappas, I know it gives them a lot of options, but allowing them to define just about anybody or anything as a dependent seems extremely radical to me, and I don't think we know what the outcome of this could be, and I would just urge members to vote no on this amendment.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I certainly subscribe to the idea of local control. And I think it's interesting that in the debate we've been having on the statewide insurance pool and the ability of local school districts to negotiate contracts, that element of local control seems to be lost on some. But to me, the idea of defining at the local level a legal term that seems to have general and uniform application seems a little peculiar. It'd be kind of like saying, well, let's allow local governments to define what they mean by resident or maybe citizen. It seems to me that there's a purpose for having firm and uniform definitions of legal status that apply to everybody in the state, regardless of what community they may live. I think, again, that this, very similar to the amendment we were just debating about the domestic partner definition, all those who were saying that our marriage law is safe and secure and not in need of an amendment, I think we're seeing why we need an amendment. And I think these things are related. And I think that this is not, I think, good policy. I don't think it's defensible on its merits, and I would urge a no vote.
The chair recognizes Senator Coring.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Is it President or okay? Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to talk about the local officials that I know up in my district, like Commissioner Tom Wenzel and Commissioner Gene Myers and Commissioner Dewey Touges. I will tell you that those people are voted on by the same people that vote me in office. And to think that I know better than what they should do as far as county government and city government is concerned, you know what, if we're for local control, like we say we're for local control, then you need to vote to defeat this amendment. So I just want to say that I have a lot of trust in my local officials, and I hope you'll trust your local officials to do the right thing, too. Thank you.
Senator Betzold.
Thank you, Mr. President. It does appear that this bill was, it's number 7, it looks like the identical language, number 7 of General Order Senate File 960 from Senator Higgins. And it was apparently, it was heard in the State and Local Government Operations Oversight Committee and reported to the floor earlier this month. So it's not a brand new issue. It's been around as a bill and it has been heard in committee.
Mr. President, I was mistaken. I want you to support the Pappas Amendment. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that, Senator Pappas. I want you to support Senator Pappas. It's the right thing to do. I'm sorry about that. I got a little confused. One of my local officials was calling me. So.
Further discussion on the A54 Amendment. Hearing no further discussion, there's been a roll call requested. The Secretary will take the roll. Members, please vote. The Secretary will close the roll. There being 42 ayes and 20 nays, the motion prevails and the A54 amendment is adopted. Further amendments. Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't have an amendment, but I have a question for Senator Betzold, if he will yield.
He'll
I'm
yield.
I'm going to switch screens here. Senator Betzold, on in Section 5, page 4, lines 8, 9, and 10, there is what I think is an unusual provision. It is $484,000 for the first year and $244,000 for the second year for staff retention. That's $750,000 for staff retention, and it's in the state auditor's office. We got a new state auditor as of January 1st. I don't recall staff retention being a problem under the former auditor, and I don't recall seeing in any budget before that we did $750,000 for staff retention. It seems like a really unusual amount. It seems to me that we could better serve the auditor and all of the commissioners and stuff like that by restoring.
It's getting pretty loud in the chamber, members. Could we keep the conversations down? Members are having hard time hearing what Senator Wergen is saying. Thank you.
Senator Wergen, proceed. Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate that. So, Senator Betzold, why are we eliminating deputy commissioners and things like that that are very helpful in nature in a lot of the departments, but we're giving the state auditor almost $750,000 to retain employees? Is there something wrong in the auditor's office that we don't know about?
Mr. President and Senator Wergen, auditors are very, very difficult to find these days. They can make a lot of money in the private sector. Our own legislative auditor has had trouble keeping very good qualified people because, frankly, we just don't pay them enough, and they can go elsewhere to get jobs. The state auditor's office is no different. In fact, they're running into people. Not only can they earn more money elsewhere, but they've got some people that have been around for a while and, frankly, are getting ready to retire. So they have to address this need there. We also, just in this bill right now, are proposing to give the appropriate money for the Department of Revenue a substantial amount of money so they can hire auditors to go after people who have not been paying their taxes. And this isn't coming cheap either. It's going to be about $15 million that we're going to be giving the Department of Revenue. A good auditor is in demand, but if they do their job the right way, they'll the money that they save for the state will come back to us many, many times over. As to your point on the deputy commissioners, I don't quite see it the same way because, you know, we've gone through a period when we had to reduce state government. We had to make a lot of hard decisions. And I think, as Senator Cohen has talked about over the years, I think at some point the upper levels of management just are going to have to suffer go with the rest of us with some of the hardships we've created by some of the other cuts. And frankly, I would think that the governor would support this because I didn't see a lot of television last year. I was busy in the evenings on weekends going out talking to people in my area as I was campaigning. But as I recall, there was an ad by the governor where he criticized school districts for having too much overhead, like the second assistant deputy to the superintendent or something like that. So I would think that he would welcome something like this where, you know, let's try to get rid of the overhead where we can do that.
Further discussion on Senate File 1997. Further discussion. Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to third reading. We'll hold that for a second. After third reading. Senator Neville.
Mr. President, I have the A-53 amendment.
Senator Neville has moved adoption of the A-53 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Neville moves to amend Senate File 1997 as follows. Page 5, after line 14, insert. This is the A-53 amendment.
Senator Neville, on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I didn't have the opportunity to give this to Senator Betzold ahead of time, but if he'll support this, then I'll continue. If he doesn't want it in here, I'll withdraw it. I'm not going to ask for a roll call vote on it. But this came to me from my county auditor in Rice County on behalf of the Minnesota Counties Computer Cooperative. There's a software program that the counties are trying to develop. This would benefit, I believe, 80 or 82 counties, virtually all of the counties in Minnesota, and help them standardize the tracking and reporting of state and federal grants, electronic payments to vendors, posting of payments to the financial system, collections of revenues. In other words, it would standardize a lot of the record keeping and electronic payments that are that the counties make right now. I'm proposing to add this as rider language and to dedicate $500,000. I think it's coming out of the Office of Technology as a placeholder. It requires the counties to have a 3-to-1 match. So the counties have to raise $1.5 million in order to get the $500,000. So Senator Betzold, I know you've had almost no time to look at this, but I'm asking for an opportunity to have a placeholder in the bill so that the counties can then come and testify at conference committee and try to justify this this expenditure.
Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, Senator Neville, Council advised me we need to make a small change here in order to make it work. Otherwise, it is going to be a new appropriation. And Mr. President, we would have to, on page 1, line 3, before the, well, after the quotation mark, before the dollar sign, add the words, of this appropriation, comma. I would move that to the amendment.
The Secretary will report the Betzold amendment to the A53 amendment.
Senator Betzold is moving to amend the Neville amendment to Senate File 1997 as follows. On page 1 of the Neville A53 amendment, after line 1.2, before line 1.3, add the language of the appropriation. Is that correct, Senator Betzold?
Of this THIS appropriation, comma.
Of this appropriation?
Correct. Of this appropriation, comma, then $500,000 the first year, et cetera. So of this appropriation.
Members, you've heard Senator Betzel's oral technical amendment to Amendment A53. Is there discussion on the technical amendment? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion's adopted.
And Mr. President, Senator, and Senator Neville, I'll support the amendment. This obviously is pulling some money out of the state computers, but it's going to help the local ones. The State Government Budget Division heard a lot of requests this past session about more demands for what pay raises and computers, and computers and pay raises. And so we can't back up the train. The technology thing is moving along, but to the extent that we can help out the local governments, if we can, we should try to do so as well, too. So I'll support the A53 amendment.
Is there further discussion on the A53 amendment? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those of the opinion that the A53 amendment should be adopted indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails, and the A53 amendment is adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 1997? Hearing no further discussion, we'll go to third reading. The Secretary will give Senate File 1997 its third reading. Before the third reading, you want to wait till after?
Senate File 1997, a bill for an act relating to government operations, appropriating money for the general legislative and administrative expenses of state government, raising fees, etc.
The Chair recognizes Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I worked on this bill, and yet I have many, many problems with it. And a lot of the problems came when it went to the Finance Committee. And so it didn't end up being exactly our committee's bill anymore from the State Finance Government Division. And it ends up being a lot more of those gotcha politics. You know, it eliminates the deputy assistant commissioner positions that the governor needs to help run his administration. It also includes the definition for the domestic partners. It has a concern for me is some of the way that we will now register voters is by simply saying if you register for a driver's license, you are automatically registered as a voter, unless you say you absolutely don't want to be. And until we have like the real ID system or a system that ensures us that the documents that you use to get a driver's license are truly official documents, I don't know that this is a good way to register voters. People who come to get driver's license are not thinking about registering to become voters at the same time. And then there's provisions in here for the Secretary of State's office directing our county auditors to do a lot of postcard mailings to see if people are still at the same addresses and kind of chasing after voters to try and make sure that they remain registered no matter where they are. And I think this is going to be a very complicated system for our county auditors. And so I have some real concerns about that. It wasn't really discussed much here today, but those sections were also included in the bill after it left our division. And so there are several areas in here. The funding is modest, and I feel comfortable with that. But there's policy provisions in here that are very troubling, and I think that this bill now deserves a no vote.
Senator Betzel.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Senator Roebling is a valued member of the State Budget Government Division, and it's been truly an honor to have her serve with us for this session. And I recognize that obviously sometimes we have to have differences, but I do appreciate the hard work that she and the other members have contributed towards this bill with very minimal resources. Again, we were the only budget division that had a negative number to work from, so we had our work cut out for us. And I also want to thank the staff who put in very, very long hours to try to make it all fit and make it all work together. I do hope that you keep that in mind, and I certainly would appreciate your support for this bill.
The secretary will take the roll. Members are under call. Please vote. The secretary will close the roll. There being 42 ayes, 20 nays, the bill is approved and its title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, we're waiting for, can we conduct some business while we're waiting for that? Okay, so we're waiting a few minutes. Let's take some announcements. We can't do that yet. We're still on motions. We're waiting for a couple committee reports to come. There'll be no more votes, members, so if you're rushing to make a plane or something, feel free. Noon. President, I'd move a brief recess till the call of the chair. Okay, are we ready?
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, then I would move that revert to the fifth order of business. Reports of committees.
Reports of committees.
Mr. President, I move that the reports of the committees printed in the addendum be now adopted.
Senator Pogemiller has moved that the reports of the committees on the addendum be adopted. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
opposed, the motion prevails. Second. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. And there are members, they're on today's addendum. Second reading. And members, there are some motions on the agenda, authorship motions. Do I need to? We'll do them together on as one motion. All in favor of adopting the motions on the agenda, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? Motion adopted.
I believe that's all the work at the desk.
We need excuses then, don't we? Excuse members. Okay. Announcements of Senate interest. And without objection, the following members will be excused from today's session: Senators Gerlach, Rosen, Dibble, and Higgins. And those excuses are for all day. Announcements of Senate interest. Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, members of the House, 9 o'clock Monday morning, we will be having the bonding bill before the Capital Investment Committee.
Was that 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, the Senate Republicans will meet at 11 o'clock on Monday in the state office conference room or caucus room to do bill review.
Mr. President, I believe taxes is meeting at 8:30 Monday morning. Finance is meeting after session. And the Senate DFL will caucus at 11 a.m. in room 112. So, Mr. President, I would move that the Senate do now adjourn to March 26th, Monday, March 26th, 12 noon.
Senator Pogemiller has moved that the Senate do now adjourn to Monday, March 26th at 12 noon. All in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The Senate is adjourned.